let's just go straight into this. The scripture that I took was from Acts chapter 14, 22 for this week's lesson. And there is a lot of bad teaching that you hear all over the place. That when you become a Christian, that's when the fairy tale begins. It's happiness after that, just bliss and a bed of roses, and everything's just going to be. And I don't know where they get that from. Because that's not what the scripture says. This is what Paul says in Acts 14:22, or the writer of Acts, speaking about Paul as he on his missionary journeys. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. That's what we're here to do, to exhort you, exhort myself, to continue in the faith. And that we must, just look at this line very carefully. We must through, what does it say? Much tribulation. It didn't even say it was optional. It said we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So, yes, we can be triumphant in our inner man. That's what Paul says. The outer man is perishing, but the inner man is renewed day by day. But we are going to face tribulation. Isn't that what it says? You know, you have all these TV preachers saying, oh, you can, you know, as soon as you be, you never run into problems. It's all a bed of roses. It's all always overcoming. You're always on the top of the mountain. Paul himself, you know, said there were times when I was pressed out of measure. That's what the great apostle Paul said. He said he felt pressed out of measure. If Paul can feel pressed out of measure, I think you and me have some little excuse sometimes to feel pressed out of measure. But still, we must not give up. We must hold on. So in being a disciple, he says he was confirming the souls of the disciples. Exhorting, that means encouraging them to continue. Continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. In fact, in Revelation, John saw in his vision the souls of those that were under the altar who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And they said, how long, O Lord, faithful and true? You ever ask that question? How long? How long do we have to keep going? And he said, just wait a little bit longer. Just be patient. Because you're going to be joined by your fellow witnesses, fellow martyrs. So, you know, when you look at this scripture, be encouraged. You're suffering for Christ. You could make your life much, much easier. You could just give up and go with the flow. But it says that we, Paul included himself, must through much tribulation. It wasn't a little. That's how you're going to enter into the kingdom. Another scripture, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but you got to press through. That lady with the issue of blood had to press through a crowd, but she was determined. This was the closest she was going to get to the master. She was determined that she was going to hear and get her healing today. And this is how it's going to be. You're going to have to press through, my friend. Sometimes it's so easy to feel like giving up. But I just want you to meditate on this verse. Don't be surprised. The Bible says, why think it strange, the fiery trials? You know, sometimes my wife and I look at each other and we both take a big sigh. And we just take a big sigh. And we don't say anything because we already know what we're both going through. But this scripture brings back a hope. Yes, I understand that I'm going through much tribulation. And maybe on a Tuesday night I'll explain why we must go through much tribulation. But let's get to the beginning. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? Well, the simple answer, the surface answer is a follower of Jesus, right? There were many followers who followed him. Some followed him secretly, like Joseph of Arimathea, because he feared the Jews. And it's basically one who embraces the teachings of Christ. What's an embrace? Show me an embrace. That's an embrace. Think about it. That's what a disciple, someone who embraces. That means you're trying to get all of it. You're trying to pull it close to you. You're not trying to push it away. That's what a disciple is, someone who is embracing, giving a hug to everything that Jesus taught. That's what a disciple is. Let's look at how Jesus called his disciples. Of course, you all know this. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee in Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me. So a disciple is a follower. A follower. Follow me. But there's a purpose in the following. It's to make you also eventually a leader. Follow me and I will make you. Think about that. A disciple is following so that they can be made. So if you are still just following, that's not the end that God wants for you. He wants you to be able to continue so that then you can be made into a fisher of men. And verse 20, they straightway left their nets and followed him. To follow Jesus means you're going to have to leave some things. It's just not possible to follow Jesus and take everything with you. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. You know what that means? You're not here by mistake. You may have thought that you got here because of whatever reason, but it's not so. The Spirit of God is speaking to you directly today and saying, I love you. I want to encourage you. I'm telling you to leave your nets and follow me. That's what the Spirit is saying. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Sometimes it means leaving family members. Sometimes it means leaving other people behind. Because God has got a personal discipleship course just for you. Your path is not going to be the same as my path. Hallelujah. Because you're different. You're unique. But he has a plan for your life. As we love to quote Jeremiah 29. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have. Thoughts and plans to bless and to give you an expected outcome. But that will only happen if you're going to be a follower. If you're going to leave the nets. If in this case they left their father and followed him. Sometimes that's painful. Sometimes that means sacrifice. But that's what it means to be a disciple. It means going against what you feel. And I don't want to get ahead of what I'm going to be teaching today. Here's a more, I would say, authoritative definition of the word. And it means a learner, a pupil. So when you're a disciple, you're learning. For 3.5 years, they had the best teacher ever. Do you think there's a better teacher than Jesus? Not possible. But even so, one of them turned out to be a devil. So I know that no matter how much word you get, how many Bible studies you hear, you still have to make a personal choice. You still have to have a made-up mind, a determination. You won't be able to blame it on the teacher. You won't be able to blame it on the word. Because the word is the seed. And the seed is good. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the seed, as we said last week. Now, what it means in being a disciple is that you are not going to escape or have what's different than the master. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above his master. Look what happened to Jesus. Think about all the things that happened to Jesus. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. That is also awesome. Jesus is saying, we can be as he is. Amen. That's good enough for me. That's more than good enough for me. But to be as he is, you got to be a follower. Amen. Amen. Of course, the Pharisees in this particular verse were calling him all kinds of names. And what he was saying, they're going to call you all kinds of names too. You're going to go through some things where people don't like you. People just don't like you for no good reason other than you're a follower of Christ. Amen. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, they were calling Jesus the devil. How much more shall they call them of his household? Amen. So don't be surprised. A follower or a disciple is going to meet opposition. If you're a true follower and disciple, because you're going to have to go against what a lot of other people are saying, what they're doing, and how they are living. Amen. Let's look at how Jesus made disciples. John 17:11. In his prayer, just before he was arrested, in John 17:11, he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world," speaking of his disciples. "And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name." Last month, our topic was the name of God. And Proverbs, I think 18:10 or 10:18 says that there is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Jesus here declared that we're going to be kept. How? Through his name. Because we have the name of Jesus upon us. Amen. We belong to him. We're sealed with the Spirit. So Satan recognizes us. And it's got off limits. You can't kill them. You can do all kinds of things with their circumstance, but they belong to me. Jesus said in this chapter, he said, "I have lost none of them." I have lost none of them. If you are willing to rest in Christ, you cannot be lost. If you will rest in Christ, the only one who can make you lost is you. If you will just rest in Jesus. My father used to tell me this story about this man and his little son who were on this ship. And there was a big storm that came and the ship started to roll and rock. And people started to get panicky because of this bad storm. And the little boy said, "Daddy, can I hold your hand?" And the father said, "No, son. You can't hold my hand. I've got to hold your hand." See, our little puny grip on God is just not strong enough. I tell you what, the waves of this life will come and drag us out. But if God is holding on to us, if God is holding on to us, father said, "No, son, you can't hold my hand. I have to hold your hand." Most of the times we're going through storms, we don't even realize it. He's holding our hands. We don't see it. We may not directly feel it. But the only reason we made it, it was because he was holding our hands. Verse 12, he says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them," how? "In thy name." That's why I taught that whole lesson last month about the name of God is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. And it's not just saying the name, as I said, but it's faith in the name. Because the devil can call out Jesus. Means nothing. But when you have faith in the name, when you trust the name of Jesus, it's like a strong tower. It's going to keep you despite the storms, despite the ship rocking and rolling. The Father is going to hold on to you. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them," let's say that, "none of them." That should give you courage. That should give you faith. Amen. Jesus said, "Nobody can pluck you out of his hand." Nobody. You need to tell your situation, you're not going to pluck me out of his hand. You're not going to take me out of his hand. You're not going to do it, Satan. Despite all the things you're throwing at me, despite all of the troubles that you're throwing at me, none of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Judas had a choice. Judas had a choice. At any time, up until the supper, he could have said, "You know, forgive me." But he waited too late. Amen. Disciple making is about relationship building. What did I say about discipleship? You got to embrace it. You can't run from it. Amen. Because the disciples sometimes heard some hard statements from Jesus. Things that never made sense. And sometimes life situations will come that don't make sense. And we've got that little three-letter word. It begins with W, ends with a Y. Why? It won't make sense what's happening in our life. Jesus said some things to the disciples, and he didn't explain it. And I've said it so many times, circumstance will come into your life that will not make sense. This is where you have to trust. 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 When he told them, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, 60 of them left him. And he didn't explain it. He turned to the other 12 and he said, will you guys leave too? But here's the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter. Whither shall we go? If I wasn't in church today, where would I be? What would I do? Whither should I go? Thou only has the words of life. Only God has the words of life. Whether you understand your life circumstance right now or not. Remember that first verse I read, that it was through much tribulation. You know why? And I've said this so many times, but we need to repeat it. You know where we are right now? I know we're in this building, we're in this sanctuary, but really, we're in enemy territory. If you were dropped over in some enemy territory, as I've said so many times, would you be surprised someone is shooting at you? No, you'd be looking for someone to shoot at you. You'd be watching. You'd have your weapon all ready. You'd have your, make sure you got your flak jacket on. You'd be prepared. Most of us, we get up and we're not prepared. Oh, the devil got me today. Ow. Why did he do that? Why are we surprised? See, we are not prepared because true discipleship embraces. Amen. So let me tell you, though, it's not just following that makes you a disciple. It's practicing. It's actually putting into practice what you've been taught, what you've heard. Because lots of people heard Jesus, but not everybody actually became his disciple by putting it into practice. As they say, you got to practice what you preach. Me above all people, I have to point the finger at me and say, you can't tell people this and you're not doing it. Amen? You've got to practice what you preach if you're going to be his disciple. See, a disciple learns by hearing his master and then doing like his master. This is explicitly commanded by Jesus in John 13. He says, you call me teacher and Lord. What did he do? He started to wash the disciples' feet. And then you know what he told him? Told them, you've got to do this too. As just as I have washed your feet, because you're my disciple, you've got to wash some other disciples' feet. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, here's what a true disciple does. He does what he sees the master do. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example. So to be a disciple, it's not just following, but it's also putting into practice. Amen. Sister Carol, it's so good to see you. Amen. Amen. So to be a true disciple, it's not just coming to church and being unchanged, but it's striving, it's embracing, it's hugging everything, every bit of the word, everything that Jesus taught. And he gave them this example by doing the most menial servant task that a servant would do, washing someone else's feet, to show that if I'm your Lord and Master and I do this, this is what you ought to do. Let me give you an example, even from the Old Testament, of what a disciple does. Not just following, because lots of people can follow, but they don't want to practice. They don't want to change. When we look in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, we see the story of Elijah and his disciple, whose name was Elisha. And Elisha got wind and heard that, you know what? Elijah's going to be taken. He's going to be caught up. And I don't want for him to go unless I get everything that my master has. I want to learn to follow him. I want to learn to have everything that he knows I want to get. So in 2 Kings verse chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." He said, "Listen, I am not going to leave your side. I am going to make sure that I'm there." A true disciple wants to follow his master everywhere. Amen? And Elijah said unto Elisha, "I tell you what, why don't you wait here? Wait here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me. I got to go somewhere. I got to go to Beth-El, the house of the Lord." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Do you understand what a true disciple is? He's going to be a follower. He's not going to let the master disappear, because the master may do something and he doesn't get to learn. He doesn't get to see. So he told Elijah, "Listen, I know you want me to wait here, but listen, I'm going to follow you, because something may happen and I may miss it. The day you miss church could be the day of your deliverance. The day you miss a Bible study could be a word that would just have lifted you up. The day you miss that song service, that worship could have just warmed your heart, could have melted something in your spirit." Amen. Elisha was not going to let that day miss him. So they went down to Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. And everywhere Elijah went, his disciple Elisha was following. You know, because he knew there was a blessing to be had. Amen. 2 Kings 2:9, "And it came to pass when they were going over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee." Isn't that what Jesus said? Now, Jesus said, "Ask what I shall do for thee, and I'm going to do it." And yet most of us don't see that realized. Why did Elisha get what he asked for from Elijah? Because he never left his side. Do you get it? Do you understand? We ask, Jesus has given us the same promise that Elijah gave Elisha. The difference is, Elisha would not let him go anywhere. That is the key. If we're not embracing Jesus' teaching, then we can't just embrace the promises alone. We want all the promises, but not the rest of it. Let's read the story. "And it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away." Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that strange? "Ask what you will in my name, and I will pray the Father that he give it to you." The difference was, the disciples had been following him everywhere he went. We want the power, we want the miracles, we want all of these things, but have we been diligent? Have we said, "Well, Jesus, you just go on ahead, I'll catch you at the next town. I need to take a break from this church stuff. We have service too much. Man, they're going to have another service, and they're going to have Bible study, and they're going to have prayer meeting." But then when we're in trouble, "Oh, Jesus, please, I need the miracle. Didn't you say ask?" Well, yes, I did, but I also said follow me. Didn't I also say follow me? Elisha knew the key. He was being tested. "Yeah, why don't you stay there? I'm going to the house of God." He could have said, "Okay, well, I'll meet you on the way back." He said, "No way. No way." This is what a disciple does. You want the ask part of the promises, then you better be doing the follow part of the promises too. "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and I will endue you with power." Amen. So this is what happened. "Thou hast asked a hard thing." Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing. You want a double portion? A double portion of thy spirit be upon me?" And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you keep this up, if you keep following me, God's going to grant it to you. If you are following me, when you see me," think about this. Think about this. The last time they followed Jesus, they saw him do what? When you see Jesus ascend, you're going to have the miracle. If you are that kind of disciple that's going to follow him even to the hill where he ascends, that's when you're going to see the miracle. That's what Elijah, here's the revelation, told Elisha. If you see me when I go up, you're going to get the miracle. Amen. He said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me," there were some disciples came saying, "I would see Jesus. What did you come here today to do? I hope it wasn't to see me. I hope you came determined. I need a touch today. I need something new in my life. I've got to have a breakthrough. I need a miracle. Then you better follow Elijah to the house of God. That's where he was going. I'm going to Bethel. You can stay there if you want, but I'm going to the house of God. This is what a true disciple does. You see, they followed him for 3.5 years. They didn't stray away. So no wonder they could ask, because they had embraced. They had a relationship. And as you know, he saw Elijah go up into the whirlwind, and the mantle fell. Verse 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back, and he stood by the bank of Jordan. See, because he had been following him, because he had never let him out of his sight, he got the blessing. Some of us, we follow, you know, sometimes. And then we still want to go to Jordan and say, where is the God of Elijah? Well, you never saw him. You weren't with him. You missed out on the teaching. You missed out on the deliverance services. You missed out on the worship. And then you want the miracle. Isn't that true? It's true. God's promises are conditional. Amen? You have to respond. Jesus didn't drag anyone. He said, follow me. But those that followed, I will make you fishers of men. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters. And now he could ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and thither, and Elijah went over. This is going to happen when you are a true disciple. When you have been about the Lord's business, he will be about your business. You know, I've said this before, but I saw a poster some years ago, and it was of 6 men carrying a coffin into a church. And it said, will it take 6 strong men to bring you to church? Will it take 6 strong men to bring you to church? Because that's usually when a lot of people end up in church, is when they're being carried in a box. And yet, we want all of the discipleship blessings. We want the miracles. We want to just be able to say, heal. But we have not been following as closely as Elisha. This is a very deep message. That's why I'm talking about it. This is why I'm talking about it. You can't follow haphazardly and then demand the mantle. He said, if you see me. Elisha was determined, because it could have happened at any time. The day he didn't come could have been the time when the mantle fell and someone else got it. Another of the sons of the prophets could have picked up the mantle. Amen. So following is good, but it's following in order to practice. So here comes Elisha now. He's got the mantle. His master has gone. He's been following him all these years. Now he's going to try it out for himself. Amen. Now, I'm going to put this next slide up, and it goes along with what I said at the beginning. Amen. About suffering. Okay? A true disciple learns. Don't be coming to church for 30 years and you haven't learned anything. You're still just as ordinary and as mean and as sour as ever. Amen? Patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. There's a lot of people that wait, but you don't want to be around them, man. Ooh. The Lord just convicted me. Last night, after I was leaving here, I drove by a Subway, and I thought, you know, I want a Subway. And it was 9 o'clock, and I thought, you know, I'll pop into this Subway and go right up. My wife was with me, and I turned and said, I just feel for a Subway. So she said, fine. And I went in there. There was 2 people ahead of me, just 2 people. But there was only 1 person. And he took forever. Let me confess. I had a rotten mood. I waited half an hour. And in that time, he made 4 subs. And the first girl that was there, he made 1 sub. And I thought she was done. Then he went back, made another sub. And he did 3 subs serially, instead of doing all of them at once. For this one person. I thought, is she ordering them every time he finishes one? Is that when she's putting in the order for the next one? But as I said, this came back to me because I was in a pretty sour mood at the end of half. And I wasn't rude to him, but I wasn't feeling very happy to him either. True patience is not the ability to wait, but how you act while you're waiting. That shows where your grounding is. I want you to pay close attention to Hebrews 5:8, because a true disciple learns. How do we learn? It's through suffering. That's just at the bottom line. This is speaking about Jesus. Though he were a son, though he were the Son of God, in his flesh, he had to learn what you and me go through. What do you and me go through? Suffering. His flesh didn't want to do it. Who wants to go to the cross? Who wants to be spit upon? Who wants to be beaten up? Though he were a son, though you are a son of God, though you are chosen, though you are special, you are going to have to learn through suffering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. No amen on that one. But that's what the scripture says. That's patience worketh what? All right, look that one up. Look that one up. What I'm trying to tell you is a disciple learns. A disciple. That's why David wasn't panicked by Goliath. He had learned that God could kill a lion and a bear. So if you're facing a giant, God can take care of this. There's certain things I've learned. That's why, you know, when I was let go this week, I was so happy. I tried to look sad. Are you okay? Yes, I'm very okay. All right, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. See, I've learned a few things that when Satan gives rejection, it's God's redirection, right? And so I'm going to wait patiently with a good attitude. Amen. If you're a disciple, you've got to grow. If you're not growing, that means there's something wrong with the soil, or you're not getting fed, but there's something wrong with you. As a disciple, hopefully you are a different and stronger person than you were 5-10 years ago. Because you've been through some things. You've seen through some things. Amen? So if you have, you've learned, I can make this. I've been through this before. God is still there. Amen. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My little grasp on his hand is not good enough, but if he's holding me, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not in anything else. It's not in the world. It's not in family. It's not in money. It's not in your job. It's in Christ Jesus. Amen. So a disciple, and here's another one for you, has to deny ourselves. And we've read that so many times that, yeah, I got to deny myself. It's not really hit you what it means. So I'm going to put it in terms all of us can understand. If any person wants to follow me, he must say no. Let's say it together, no,
no,
to the things he wants. Can you say that? Because a lot of things I want that are not good for me. This flesh wants all kinds of stuff. That's what it means to deny yourself. There's some things that you have to tell yourself, no. I can't have that. That's not right. I can't go there. I can't be with that person. That's not right. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man, if you're going to be a follower of me, you're going to have to deny the things you want and follow me. Take up his cross Take up his cross, take up your cross, and follow me. There is a cross that you have to take up if you're following Jesus. But here's the thing of it. If you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. Let me say it again. There is a promise at the end of all of this. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. So while you're going through your suffering, think about that. I am going to reign. Luke 14:27 says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." If you refuse to carry the cross, you're not his disciple. You're not his disciple. Let me say it again. Jesus said, not I saying, you cannot be my disciple if you're not going to carry the cross. Because the servant is not greater than the master. And when people ask me how I'm doing, you all know what I say. You know, because no matter how bad things get, I'm still doing better than I deserve. I don't deserve anything. I truly deserve God's judgment and his wrath. Instead, he has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. And truly, if I died today, I would die happy. I can honestly say that. Apart from missing family and you guys, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. No matter what the circumstance is, I am going to claim that I am blessed and highly favored. Amen. I might have a pain in my leg. I might have a whatever, but I'm still blessed and highly favored. I stand upon God's word and declaration that I am blessed and highly favored. You see, we have got to get to the place, amen, where nothing else comes before God. Amen. When we can tell the devil, you're not going to get me because he's holding on to me. I'm not holding on to him. He has dragged me out of so many pits, so many earthquakes, so many traps, so many plans and little snares of the enemy. He has delivered me. Let me say it again. In English, plain English, if any person wants to follow me, he must say no to the things he wants. That's tough, isn't it? Because the things I want don't necessarily line up with the things God wants. Amen? And so we have to learn to be able to say no to those. That's if you want to be his disciples. I want you to understand where true power comes from. It's sticking close to Jesus. That's where true power comes from. If you didn't see it, think about the story of Elisha and how he was able to get the double portion. It was because he was there every minute. And so he was there when the mantle came down. That's how you get the double portion. A disciple embraces, hugs everything the teacher says, takes it all. Amen. It's not a buffet. It's not pick and choose. You got to eat all of it, right? What Jesus teaches is not a, well, I like a bit of this, I'll take a bit of that, but no, I don't like that. You got to eat all of it. When Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, he says, take, eat all of it. You can't leave a bit of it that you don't like. You know, there's many of us, there's things we don't like. But that's not how it is when it's serving God. You have to eat all of it. You have to eat all of the word. Because the words, Jesus said, that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. So let's go on now. Let's look at recognizing true discipleship. John 13:34. How do you recognize a true disciple? It's very simple. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's how you know a disciple. Even when they're not lovable, when they're in fact hateful, you don't look at them that way. You look at them as a soul that could be lost, that could spend eternity away from Christ. This is how the true test of discipleship is, when you love one another. 1 John 4:20 says, if any man say, I love God, oh, I love God, but man, I can't stand him. He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? John, 1 John 4:21 says, and this commandment, it's a commandment. It's not optional. It's not optional. It's not one of them buffet things where you take this part of the word of God. I like this. I don't. You know what we do? We pick up all the promises, all the cakes and the sweets and the goodies and the ice cream. But the vegetable parts, we don't want to hear that about doing good to them that despitefully use you and learning through suffering. That part of the buffet we don't want. We don't want that part. We want all the good parts. And this commandment, it's not optional. It's not optional that you love. It's a commandment. Have we from him that he who loveth God love his brother also. Oh, that is so hard. Come on now, isn't that hard? Can you think of somebody? Don't raise your hand. Don't say any names. Can you think of some people who you would just like to be? You go over there and I will come over here and let's just keep it that way. Oh, Lord. You want the double portion? You want the rest that goes with discipleship? You're going to have to embrace all of it. Amen. Recognizing true discipleship, a new commandment. In the Old Testament, that wasn't how it works. It was an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. You scratch my back, I rip yours apart. That was the Old Testament. Jesus said, a new commandment. A new commandment, right? We can't do that. We may feel to do that. Some years ago, you know, someone came in here and wanted to say some nasty things. Wanted to say some nasty things about my father. And I'll say the Holy Spirit came upon me. But I said, there's two options. You're either going to sit down or I'm going to escort you out right now. And I decided he needed to be escorted out in love. In love. Oh my. And they will know you are my disciples by your rules, by your theology, by your self-righteousness, by how powerful you are, by how you can speak, your rhetoric, by your holiness? No. By the clubs you belong to? By your money? No. It's by your love. Amen. I want this church, this assembly, to be known as a church where we love people. Not that we love sin, but that we see a person as a soul that God died for. Amen. That we see a person as a soul that God died for. I didn't die for you, he did. I have no right but to love you. It's not optional. It's not optional. He says, a new commandment. It's not Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, yeah, you could hate your enemies. But Jesus said to his disciples, so then what you know, benefit you have? The sinners do that. But when you can truly have pity and mercy and compassion on someone who is trying to, you know, despitefully use you and put you down, and that's when you are showing discipleship. Amen. That's when you're showing discipleship. Becoming as the master. Matthew 10:23. Jesus said, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, he's telling disciples, don't give up. When you get persecution, don't give up. Just go somewhere else and start preaching the gospel there. Amen? When you persecute in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. Amen? Acts 4:22. I'm going to read this one again. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in faith, that we must, through much tribulation. Anyone gone through any tribulation this year? Anyone facing some tribulation? You know what it means? You're getting ready to enter the kingdom. All it is that you're getting ready to enter the kingdom. We must, if you've been through much tribulation, God is just getting you ready to enter the kingdom. Amen. He's just preparing you. He's getting you ready to understand that you're going through a phase of discipleship. Amen. Now, how do we go about, in your bulletin, I think it says on the front, disciple, it says, be one, make one. Be one, make one. Right? Once you've been following Jesus for a while, it's time to be one and then make one. Amen. In the feasts, Jesus told the children of Israel, when you come to the feast, don't come empty-handed. Bring something. God is going to ask us, okay, so you were my disciple for how many years? 10 years. And you invited how many people to meet me? 1, 2, 3, 10 years. You know, I think in the example of the sub shop yesterday, while I was waiting for the guy to... My wife missed that, but she was in the car wondering, what in heavens has happened to him? He went in there at 9 o'clock, and she was wanting to go home, and I was feeling so bad, but I was determined I was going to get my sub. They that wait upon the Lord. I did apologize. It was not exactly my fault. Amen. And it did teach me a lesson. But Jesus, just as how I waited, you know, he's waiting on you the same way. And he's looking and saying, how many subs are you taking? How many people are you winning to God? I've been here at 9 o'clock. It's now 9:30. And this person who I've saved and who I've blessed, all year they've invited just one person. Two people, three people. Man, I looked at that guy. He made 4 subs in half an hour. It was like, he was lining them up geometrically. He was, yes. And I wonder if God doesn't get frustrated with us. He's waiting upon us. You say you're my disciple, go and work. He said, the harvest is white. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers. Is there anyone you can think of today who could use some help from God? Is there anyone today who you could say, I have an answer for you? Because that's what being a disciple is. Be one, make one. How did Jesus do it? Well, he went after the worst people out. The worst people. He turned sinners first into friends. That's what he did. And if he salute your brethren only, if you only say hi to all your friends, do we more than others? Don't even the publicans do that? Jesus gave the example of how you make disciples. Mark 2:15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans, these were the people who were thought of as the worst scum, cheats, con men, the worst people, sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. You know what that means? They're on their way to becoming disciples. You know why? He showed love to people who people don't want to go be nearby. See, he first turned sinners into friends. Matthew 11:19 says he was a friend of publicans and sinners. Now, there's some people, because they're sins, we just don't want to be around. But how are you going to win them? If we only associate with all the good people, how do we win the people who need healing, who need salvation? Jesus said, it's the sick that need a doctor. The Pharisees said to him, you're always around with the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the winos. What kind of prophet are you? He said, well, it's the sick people that need a doctor. You know, Jesus was so deep, so profound. Amen. So we see that God shows us the template for making disciples. You reach out to the outcasts. Amen? It says here, discipleship also takes time. As pastor, I really realize that now. Well, I knew it, but it's come home even more. As this church grows, I won't be able to call everybody. I will need help. Otherwise, the church will only grow as much as I can handle. And if I don't get help, it won't grow any bigger. You have to be disciples. You have to be sheep. Right? They say it's the sheep that bear sheep, not the shepherd. Shepherd cares for the sheep. But it's the sheep that reproduce sheep. Amen? So we have to be the sheep that win other sheep. It takes time. It takes investment. You're going to have to stop what you're doing. Remember, deny ourselves and call somebody. Take up the phone and say, hey, we're having a special guest at church next week. You want to come? I hear that God is really doing some things. If this church is good enough for you to come to, I hope it's good enough for your friends. Amen. Hope it's good enough for your friends. Amen. Discipleship takes time. Amen. It's going to take time. Jesus spent 3.5 years investing his time. You know, he could have come and just gone straight to the cross. He could have arranged it that way. But no, he wanted to make disciples. He wanted to leave a heritage. He wanted to have some people who could continue the work. Amen. We need to be disciples, but we also have to make disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 starts off this way. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It took an investment of his time. There were many times when Jesus was tired in the flesh, and all these crowds just kept... Imagine if a crowd just kept following you for 3 days. 3 days, they're at your window. Hey, come out here, we need you. Have you had anyone just keep calling you? Do you understand how Jesus actually physically got tired? There were 5,000 or 6,000 people every single place he went. Have you ever tried to sleep when it's just noise everywhere? He couldn't even... That's why he had to go up into a mountain. Sometimes he had to get into a boat to get some space. And yet, he did it. This is what it's going to take, because this is what the master did. Is that what I said? We're going to follow the master? Amen. This is what it takes. It takes investment of your time. You have to deny the things you want to do for yourself and put it into God's work. Hallelujah. I'm trying to hurry here. So discipleship is going to take your time. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. We should be a light. I've said that Christians, we should be the most joyful, happiest people. Not because we got money, not because our light bill is paid, not because our car is working. My car needs a whole ton of stuff right now. But you know what? I'm still blessed and highly favored. Amen. You know why? Because I know God. I know Jesus. And as we've been saying, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. We have to be the light. We have to be the salt. We have to be the one that people say, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy all the time? What's wrong with you? As I said, when I got let go, I really had to hide it. Because they may think I was already planning to quit. Oh dear, I hope nobody's watching this. I drove out of that parking lot and I was so happy because... Thank you, Jesus. I have more time now for his business. Even if it's only for this summer, I have more time for his work. And I am grateful to God. All things work together for good. Amen? Amen. Now, what is the result of you being a disciple? Well, we touched some of it. You get the double portion. You get to be there when, if you see him ascend, you're going to get the mantle. Amen. That's when you really start to get the fruit, reaping the harvest of discipleship. Now, they saw Jesus ascend. They go back into the city, and now they're on their way to the house of God. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. These people were fishermen. You know, they probably could curse up a storm. They could drop all kinds of bombs. And they took knowledge of them. Why? They had been with Jesus. They had been with the greatest teacher. You need to get an Elisha spirit that says, wherever you go, I'm not letting you out of my sight. I'm going to be at church every time I can, because you, not me, you have the words of life. And if I keep following you that closely, then all of the other promises, all of the other gifts are going to be manifested. I can then start to ask. Elijah said to Elijah, what you ask is a big deal. But if you keep following me like this, to the point where you see me, see, we need to say, I must see Jesus. Amen. When you get to that desperate and you have that determination, Lord, I want to get as close, as close, as close. Because when you get that close, that's when these things are going to start to be full. That's when the ask what you will be fulfilled in your life. Sorry to repeat it, but I'm going to repeat it because I want you to really get this. Elijah said to him, listen, I'm going to Bethel, but you don't have to come. You can stay here. No way. Elisha said, no way. You going to the house of God? I'm going to the house of God. Stay here at Jericho. No, I'm not staying at Jericho. He could have said, I'll meet you on the way back. I am trying to show you the practical, absolute way that you're going to get your prayers answered. You have to stick close to Jesus. You have to love. The Bible says he's coming back for those that love, not just like, love his appearing. If you don't love his appearing yet, you need to get some more commitment. You need to start getting the word down in here till you love it. You got to eat it till it becomes sweet in your belly. Amen. They marveled at these unlearned and ignorant men because there was something different. They had become disciples. You know what? They had been with that Jesus fellow, that rabbi that no one could even challenge, no one could even trap him, no one could. These people have been around him for 3 years. You better leave them alone. Gamaliel said, listen, you can't fight God. You know, it could be that these people are really the real deal. They're not fake, so you better leave them alone. If they're fake, they won't come to nothing. Amen? And the result of discipleship, and I'm running out of time, is that he has promised, I will be with you. Be one, make one. If you could stand with me today. Therefore, let's say therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we know what that name is, Jesus. And teaching them to obey everything. As I said, following Jesus is not a buffet. You can't pick the pieces. You have to eat everything. I have commanded you. And this is what he sends. Surely. Let's say surely. Do you believe surely? The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. If you will follow him as Elisha followed Elijah, then he's going to say surely. You know where that word shows up in the Old Testament? Psalms 23. Surely. 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 Goodness and mercy. That's what I want to follow me. Surely. Jesus says, surely. Do you know what this means? In the New Testament, he says, I am with you always. In the Old Testament, he's revealed as goodness and mercy. It's the same thing following. Surely, goodness and mercy. shall follow me all the days of my life. In the New Testament, that goodness and mercy is revealed to be none other than Jesus Christ. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have some exceeding great and precious promises, but they're conditioned on this. Follow me. Follow me and I will make you. The Bible said immediately they left their nets, left the Father, came out the boat and became his disciples. Even when he said some hard things, even when they heard some hard things which they could not understand. What does the Bible say about things you can't understand? Lean not. Don't try and work it out. Trust. 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 When we get to that point like Elisha where we embrace, where we're determined to never let the prophet out of our sight, because we have a promise that if we see him, we're going to get the double portion. I'm trying to end this, but this is just the beginning. We're doing 3 weeks more of this on discipleship. And I want you to leave here with this word in your heart that if you will embrace the whole nine yards, if you will take the whole scroll, if you will eat the whole book, if you will take that word, it says, if my word abide in you, then you shall ask. You can't get closer than in you. That's the key. When you're that close, when it's in you, then you can ask. Then you can go to the river and take the mantle and say, where is the God of Elijah? You know, if anyone else had picked that up and tried it, it wouldn't have worked. Because Elisha had become a true disciple. Amen. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, as we study your word, Lord God, that your anointing, oh God, will seep and plant itself inside our hearts, that we will decide, oh God, to embrace you. Lord, that we will eat your whole word, that we will seek to run to your temple, to be, oh God, at everything, Lord God, where you are present. Lord God, that we have the promise of becoming your disciple. Lord, we ask for your continued anointing and blessing, oh God, and edification. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.